Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. You're taking a closer look at mergers and acquisitions as we roll into the new year.
Yeah, in our first edition of the new year, M&A, where is it? Where is it going? What's the deal flow like? And if you own a small business right now or involved in running a kind of a mid-level, mid-market business, or any type of business for this matter, there are a lot of buyers on the market right now. It's a good time to sell. And for a number of years, and it's beginning to accelerate, we've seen this kind of phenomenon in the marketplace where folks who are in their latter years, their 50s, early 60s, the baby boomers who are beginning to retire the last number of years. If you're a man or woman at that age, you've been running the business, you've owned a small business for 20, 30 years or whatever, you would like to exit that now business now and take the cash off the table. And you have plenty of potential to do that. When we sat down with a group a couple of weeks ago of business brokers and investors and folks who work in this field, they say the market remains in really good shape. It was in good shape in 2017, should remain in good shape in 2018. There's plenty of capital available. The banks are lending money. Rising interest rates shouldn't affect things too much, but there are buyers out there on the market who are interested in adding to their capabilities, whether geographic markets, product lines, and even talent. And that was an interesting aspect that came up in our conversation, kind of a roundtable we had on mergers and acquisitions, that folks who work in that field are beginning to see talent as a factor in a deal, i.e. a business owner, a business is having trouble attracting that talent. And Patrick, we've talked about this issue here before, but there's a talent shortage. So you're having trouble attracting the talent you need. So how do you get it? Well, you go buy a company. Maybe you need engineering acumen. Here's a company that's got that type of talent. So you can acquire talent, and that's becoming a bigger factor in deals. But overall, it's a good time if you're a seller right now. Valuations are high, and the folks who work in the field tell us they expect that to continue through the new year.
What is the factor driving that? And there may be more than one, but what do you think the overarching reason is for this?
There are a number of reasons. Again, the boomers retiring and coming to market with their businesses if they don't have that next generation to hand it down to. Valuations are high. Sellers are getting good money for their businesses. So that's got some folks thinking, maybe now is the time to strike. Maybe now is the time to get out. I can get good money for my business. Capital and credit are readily available. You know, years ago, the banks were not lending as much. What we hear today, the banks are pretty open to lending for these types of deals. So there's just a few of the factors that are lining up to make for a continued strong market in 2018.
And some of what you've noticed here, too, is there's a health insurance or a health care component in all of this as well.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of an interesting dynamic that's beginning to unfold here in West Michigan. It started a year ago, back in May. You may remember Outfit Sterling Partners. It's a private equity firm out of Chicago. Invested in and acquired a majority stake in Grand Rapids Ophthalmology. That's a large eye care practice here in Grand Rapids. And it did another deal yesterday. It acquired Shoreline Vision over in Muskegon that I think has a half dozen offices here around the region. And what we're seeing is private equity now beginning to look at healthcare as an investment target. For years, we've seen medical practices, doctors, either teaming up to form larger medical groups or going doctors preferring to go to work for health systems, such as the Spectrum Health Medical Group. Mercy has its medical group. Metro U of M has a medical group. Most health systems of any size today have their own medical group, and doctors, because of a number of reasons, high debt, capital needs, the need to invest in technology, the higher pressure from insurers for quality and tightening reimbursement, doctors, instead of running their own practice, are opting for that employment model with the health system. So you've seen a lot of consolidation in medical practices over the years. Well, here's now another option on the table. If you're a doctor who's in solo practice, or maybe you're part of a small group of 3, 4, 5 doctors or specialist group, and you're looking at all these changing dynamics, including this changing economic model in healthcare where you're paid more based on outcomes and quality rather than volume, And that means a heck of a lot more risk for doctors that they're taking on. How do you optimize costs and how do you kind of mitigate risk? Well, you get larger. How do you get larger? In the past, it's been teaming up to form a larger medical group or simply going to work for a health system. Now, this, with private equity coming into the market, it's another option for doctors. The private equity groups, there are some who specialize in healthcare who are out in the market buying. Again, we saw that with Grand Rapids Ophthalmology and Shoreline Vision yesterday. A year ago, there was also an anesthesiologist group in Muskegon that was bought up by an outfit out of Florida. So those organizations, these private equity investors, are building that mass, building that critical mass that's needed to have some efficiencies in these practices. And again, it's coming out as a whole new option for doctors to consider if they wish to become part of something bigger.
And there's so much uncertainty right now with healthcare and the direction or the ideology that the country wants to take when it comes to making sure dollars are in place and folks are being taken care of.
Yeah, and there's nothing like a little uncertainty that'll make folks weigh their options, isn't there? And I don't know how some of these small practices do it or small hospitals do it. There's a lot of uncertainty. The economic model is changing. We saw the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services the other day talk more about wanting to position and transition more providers into this value-based model, paying for performance and paying for outcome rather than volume. The technology investments are never going to get smaller. Yeah, we're in that digital age, and they need to keep up not only on the medical technology, but the for patient medical records. So there's a lot of pressure on medical groups. There's a lot of pressure on health systems of all sizes as well. And again, one way for organizations to kind of combat that is to bulk up a little bit and get larger.
Well, one large outfit that specializes in many areas, Spectrum Health, and they've reached a real milestone when it comes to heart and lung transplants.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a milestone, a threshold they hit that worthy of note. Back a few years back, Spectrum Health, 7 years ago, started doing heart transplants. A few years later, started doing lung transplants. Here, late just before the new year, it performed its 100th heart and its 100th lung transplants there up on the hill at Butterworth Hospital. And that's kind of a milestone. What does it mean? Not a whole lot, but when I talked to one of the doctors there, Michael Dickinson, he runs the heart transplant program. He's the medical director there. He says what it really means is it's kind of a symbolic threshold, a symbolic milestone, which is these programs are here to stay and that they're maturing and that we've gotten stronger. One of the things he noted is that Spectrum Health, early when it was doing these transplants, the real complex, complicated cases, it was still referring elsewhere, whether U of M or to Chicago, and it was referring those out. Well, now all those patients are staying here. So over the years, 4 years or 5 years for lungs, more than 7 years for heart, it's gotten better. It's really built up its teams, its transplant teams, and all those cases are now staying here in Grand Rapids, and that's why Spectrum Health years ago got into the transplant area and wanted to become a transplant center, is if a patient needs this, there's not only a whole medical condition, but there's a hardship for the family to have to travel those distances, whether Ann Arbor or Chicago or wherever, and then for the pre-procedure, going through the procedure, and all the post-op care that they receive. That's a hardship for the family. So Spectrum launched those here, and by all accounts, they're growing programs. They've hit a threshold, and looking at some of their quality measures, they're doing it pretty well as well.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and talk to you again in 2 weeks.